please continue to stand for our scripture and praise song.
Friends, our text comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 14 through 21. Hear these words from the Lord. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I had no idea there was going to be a check for $500. Thank you all for that. Wow. Wow. And thank you to Reverend Carpenter for this invitation. I'm glad to hear he's down in the islands. I think we could all use a little warm weather. Friends, this whole experience that has brought me here today started about 4 years ago in Atlanta. And basically what happened is I graduated from seminary and talked to my professors and said, "What's the hardest thing I can do?" And they said, "Well, if you really mean that, go downtown right off of Peachtree Street and work in this kind of like a social service agency for the homeless." And so I did that. Went down there and it was social work for the first couple of days. So I'd hand out MARTA tokens and clothing closet vouchers and get people into detox, and that was great. But I went to the supervisor there and said, "This is not actually what I signed up for. I need something a little bit tougher. I said, I realize that before all the folks come into this office and sit behind a desk and wait in line to talk to me, they're actually across the street in this park, maybe about as big as the graveyard out there. And what do you think if I just go spend my day there? And they said, well, that's the place where the police don't go. That's the place where people are dying of AIDS. That's the place where people are shooting up crack. That's the place where prostitutes are hanging out. If you want to go there and you feel led, then by all means. So that's where this all started. And it's not about me. It's about what happened to me through God. And what I want to talk about is one of the experiences I had in that park. Okay? Now, I never knew her God-given name in that sweaty downtown park, but her street name was Erica. Street name was Erica. And I would watch her, and she'd stand on the downtown corner there. Same thing every day. And she was waiting. She was waiting for a flirting John, or a shout from a car window, or a whisper from behind the city park bush. She was waiting to turn another trick, you know what I'm saying? Now, this is a role Erica plays really, really well. Not because she wants to, but if she wants to eat tomorrow, she's got to do what she's got to do. Now, imagine this with me. She's got very, very tight raven hair. It's greased down on both sides, and she cuts her bangs really high so you can see her forehead with dull scissors, and she's always plucking her eyebrows with rusted tweezers, and she's always reapplying this neon-colored lipstick because what she's hoping is that you'll look at her lips, not the stubble growing above it. And she has really weathered hands, strong fingers. She's got rings that are made of fool's gold on every finger, and she's got fake diamonds on both pinkies. She's wearing a tight tank top so you can see her really broad shoulders, and it's a midriff so you can see her coal-colored stomach. She's wearing cut-off jeans, and the frayed edges on the bottom, you can see her very muscular quadriceps, and you can even see some of that dark, thick hair growing. If you keep going down, you can see that her two left feet are crammed into high heels, 4 inches, and they're red to hopefully seduce, and they're that high to hopefully get people to notice. If y'all have been to Atlanta, you know Peachtree Street. That's a busy road. It's kind of like Patton Avenue. Well, car pulls up, man looks at Erica, their eyes meet. No words are exchanged. The sedan stops. The door opens. Same transaction happens. She's back at work in the back seat. Now, there's a man from a very different time wearing a very different dress than Erica. He's been out in the wilderness for 40 days. He's been tempted. Hadn't had anything to eat. He's hungry. But he's filled with the Holy Spirit. And so he's heading home to begin his very public ministry. And he's likely wearing a wool tunic instead of a tank top or high heels. Probably has a sash around his waist. Probably has tassels or fringes dangling about. Probably has sandals on with a thong between his toes. And the first thing Jesus does is he heads for the synagogue. Now, that makes sense. That's the center of life in the Jewish world. If you wanted to send your kids to school, they went to the synagogue. If you had a dispute with your neighbor, you went to court in the synagogue. If you wanted to go to worship on Saturday, you went to the synagogue. So when Jesus arrives, as he's headed to church, he enters through a gate. Now, archaeologists think that the synagogue was a series of buildings, kind of like a complex. The synagogue right in the middle, a series of other structures around that. Then you had a big fence around all that. And then you had a gate. Okay? Then you had a gate. Now, we know Jesus was born homeless. But Mary and Joseph made a little bit of money. Carpentry didn't provide much. But it did provide enough to wear the right clothes, to be a good Jew, to follow all the laws. And so because of that, he just walks right through that gate and he heads to the synagogue. Now the Saturday service begins. Prayers are offered. Then it's time for the scripture to be read. And Jesus stands up. That's the Jewish tradition. You stand up to read the scripture. You sit down to preach. So he stands up. You heard it there in verse 17. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to Jesus, and he unrolls it, and he finds the place where it is written. Remember, his public ministry is beginning right now. We're only in chapter 4 of Luke, so we're not that far along. All the hometown guys and girls are gathered. There's a lot riding on this moment. It's also worth mentioning, for the Gospel of Luke, the writer has a habit of offering these summary statements that tell you everything you need to know that comes after. Well, you can make the case that what's happening right here is the most important part of the whole Gospel. Out of 24 chapters, this is probably the thing you need to pay attention to most, right here. Because what's about to happen, what's about to be read, reveals everything that we need to know about Jesus' message, everything that we need to know about Jesus' ministry, and maybe most importantly, everything we need to know about what Jesus wanted His church to be like when He was gone. So you can kind of imagine His finger on that scroll of Isaiah. He stops at chapter 58. And he begins to read. Begins to read about a time when an anointed one will come. And when that happens, the poor's dreams and hopes will finally be fulfilled. They're finally going to have their day. When the people on the outside finally going to be let inside. People are last, finally going to be first. It's called the year of Jubilee. You've heard that term. The year of Jubilee. The year of restoration. Well, who's being restored? People at the very bottom. That's where it starts. So by Jesus picking this text, he's saying, listen, you've heard about this anointed one. It's me, the Messiah. Words on the scroll are no longer just words. It's actually become true. The words have taken on flesh. The wait is over for the paralytic, the demoniac, the leper, the man with the withered hand. You know all the people that Jesus spent time with. The wait's over. God's promises have finally been fulfilled. We know that first impressions are very lasting. So it matters that this is the very first thing Jesus has done in His whole public ministry. This is the beginning. And what does He do? He starts to read from the prophet of Isaiah. And He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because God has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the year of Jubilee." Everything you need to know about the Gospel of Luke, you just heard right there. There's good news for the poor. There's release for the captives, recovery of sight for the blind. And the wait for the year of Jubilee is over. Remember in the Jewish tradition, stand up to read the scripture, you sit down to preach. Well, he's read the text, and now he's starting on his sermon. And the anointed one rolls up the scroll, gives it back to the attendant, and he sits down. All the eyes in the synagogue are fixed on him. All the eyes. Then Jesus begins to preach, and he says, Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. It's interesting that he would begin his first sermon in his whole life with the word today. It's significant. Today, he's saying, God's kingdom has begun. Today, salvation is available. Today, the kingdom has arrived. Today, the disinherited, the disenfranchised, the destitute, the downtrodden, the despised, they finally have something to rejoice over today. Today. Didn't say yesterday. Didn't say tomorrow. Didn't say when the committee votes on it. Says today. Today means for those people sitting in the synagogue with sashes on and sandals, to those folks who have heard it ever since with ties and tiaras on in church pews ever since, they've all heard that today means today. But here's the rub. There's one group that hadn't heard anything. Hadn't heard anything. Don't know that today is their day. Don't know that table of grace includes them. Don't know resurrection is possible. And most importantly, they don't have any idea what Jesus said on the very first day of his public ministry. Remember that gate Jesus walked through? The very beginning? To walk through that gate, he had to have the right clothes on. Had to be ritually cleansed. Had to be anointed. Had to smell right, had to look right, had to have the right papers. The very people Jesus walked through that gate into the synagogue to preach to couldn't hear his message because they weren't let in. Let me say that again. The very people he stood up to preach to couldn't hear his message because they weren't allowed through the gate. The oppressed, the blind, the captives, demoniac, the leper, the guy with AIDS, the woman with mental illness, you know the names. They are out at the gate, waiting with people like Erica, because the church won't let them in. Now it gets even more difficult. Many of you already figured this out. Erica is actually Eric. Erica is actually Eric. It's a man who dresses in drag every day as a transvestite prostitute because there's some businessmen that are in that sort of thing. Wears clothes that don't fit, makeup that doesn't match, shoes that pinch. Out on the streets every day, backseat after backseat after backseat. Erica doesn't know. And there are thousands of people in this community that don't know either. Now just hang on a second and think, what would Erica, or Eric, whichever you prefer's life, be like if someone had offered the good news? Someone had gone to the gate. Probably wouldn't be on Peachtree Street right now in Atlanta doing the same thing. Now, as you hold that in your mind, take it a step further. What would your life be if you were actually the one that went to the gate and told him or her? See that word fulfilled? The scripture is only fulfilled today in our hearing by whether or not we respond to those people living on the banks of the French Broad, loitering around Pritchard Park, waiting for a shower at A Hope, sleeping on the floor of the rescue mission, waiting for food from ABCCM. It's only fulfilled by us, those who have heard, if we go out and tell those folks who haven't. Amen. Friends, that's a lot. I know it is. It was a lot for me to see it every day for a year. What are your questions about this ministry, about what we're trying to do?
Your table, tell us about your table.
Downtown Welcome Table. That started because you all have done such a good job here. That's how it started. Some people came to me and said, you know what? Swannanoa and Hominy Valley are making such a difference in their church. Why don't we do it downtown? So we've started. We have a group of folks who've been dedicated to this. We've just begun, as I said earlier to a few folks. We've done it twice, had about a little under 100 people show up both times. So, without any advertising, without even a name of this church, we think it'll probably be at 200 folks real quick. Depends on who you talk to. In Atlanta, if you talk to the elected folks, they'll tell you maybe 40,000 homeless people. If you talk to people in the agencies, they'll tell you actually it's more like 100,000. Usually whatever the official number is, you just double it. Well, the official number in Asheville is about 2,200, so just say 4,000. 4,000 people. It's a lot of homeless. Welcome Table's going great. We have a lot of needs there. We have kind of a beautiful old kitchen from the 50s that hadn't been updated, so like an industrial dishwasher, a sprayer for the sink, some convection ovens. We don't have any of that, so we're just kind of doing the best we can with what we got, but we think this is going to grow so quick, so fast, we just want to try to keep up. So, that's a great question. Where are we located? You go down Patton Avenue West, downtown, there's the Carolina Rescue Mission on the right, there's the Volvo dealership on the left, and right before you get to the interstate, there's Haywood Street and Patton Avenue, that intersection, and there's an old, beautiful red brick church there. And it used to be called Haywood Street United Methodist. And they dwindled down to a few folks and said, you know what, I don't want to see our church turned into condominiums. So let's figure out a way to remission this space. And this is one of the ways they're doing it. So its actual address is 297 Haywood Street. And every Wednesday we have worship from about 12:30 to 1, 1:15. We have the downtown welcome table. We have a clothing closet. We're going to start a Sunday night worship this summer. Thursdays, we try to do mission work. This week, for instance, we're going to take a van full of homeless folks to work on a Habitat for Humanity house. We had a Christmas Day party. We had a Super Bowl party with the homeless. We hope to do even more programs, but that's where we're located. How did I end up the pastor there? That's a great question. In Atlanta, I spent so much time with people like Erica And I would always ask him the same questions. First, what's your name? It's pretty humanizing to be asked what your name is. But sooner or later, I would say, what's your experience of church? And almost inevitably, they would say, well, been to a lot of churches, and the response is always the same. You're not welcome here. What's that? That's right. You don't have the right clothes on. You don't smell right. You don't look right. And so on top of that, not only were they being told, you're not welcome here, they were being told, the reason you're not welcome here is because God has judged you. God has said, the reason you're homeless is because you're such a terrible sinner. So you're actually getting what you deserve. So maybe if you prayed harder, or maybe if you tithed 20% instead of 10% of that money you did turn into trick, then maybe God will bless you. That's what we call the prosperity gospel. That ain't got nothing to do with United Methodism, but that's the gospel a lot of folks have heard on the street. And so, because of that, I started to say, well, maybe there needs to be a church that's the opposite of all that. And so, usually, in our denomination, you get a call from the bishop and they say, you're going to Second Church Albemarle, and you pack your bags and go. That experience was so profound for me in Atlanta that I turned it around and went to the bishop and said, this is what I want to do. This is my calling, and I'm so convicted about it. I'm actually willing to go anywhere. And so I actually got on the phone and called every conference in the country and said, this is who I am. This is what I want to do. And thankfully, Asheville said, why don't we try it here? So that's not how it typically goes. But I think the bishop and the district superintendent saw that I was really serious about this and said, all right, let's give this guy a try. So that's how it happened. Yes, ma'am. I spent a good bit of time with Erica. I got appointed to Waynesville. Back up the story a little bit. I went to the conference and said to them, this is what I want to do. And they said, all right, we're going to appoint you to two rural churches in Waynesville. So I've had to wait a little while. So after that experience with Erica, I got sent to Waynesville. So I don't know. The last I saw of her, still turning tricks downtown, still getting high on crack, still dressing up as a woman every day. Well, I hope so. She planted a seed in me, that's for sure. Yeah. What else? In the back there on the stool, there's a number of things. If you feel led by this ministry, that you can participate. There's envelopes that are self-addressed and stamped. If you want to donate, there's little pieces of paper. If you want to volunteer or pray for this ministry, if you feel even more convicted about it, you could make this a tithe, a little green piece of paper. Whatever it is you feel led, if anything to do, there's some opportunities back there. So. All right, friends, let us stand as you are able for our hymn, Oh, How I Love Jesus, page 170.